Welcome to the Watson Weekly. I'm your host, Rick Watson.
Hello, it's Jess Lisewski. We're here, we're back. It's the weekend, and it's like kind of the kickoff of summer, so let's do this.
Yeah, it's hot as heck over here. The Knicks are winning.
That's right. One game away, right?
One game away.
And also the Canes. Go Canes.
Go Canes. Yeah.
NC represent. That's
exactly.
Right.
On today's show, we have three great stories for you. First is Shopify is repurchasing shares in the age of AI. Is that a problem? Second, Apple finally lays out its plans for AI. And third, are you noticing a theme?
Yes.
AI that builds AI. Anthropic released a very interesting memo about three future scenarios, according to Anthropic, on the heels of it filing for its IPO. In the meantime, if you haven't seen our newsletter, it's at watsonweekly.com. We run it 3 or 4 times a week. It's amazing. You should sign up.
That's right.
If you're not a member.
All the news you'll ever need, just right there.
It's free.
And it's free.
It's free.
And go tell your friends.
Go tell your friends. Our first story this week, Shopify repurchasing shares in the age of AI. Is this a sign of trouble? Just to catch you up, Shopify added another $3 billion to a share repurchase program. That brings a total authorization to about $5 billion. They kicked this off last year, back in February, and they've already bought back about $1.5 billion of it. So that's where it is. The question is, the timing of this, what does it mean? I find the juxtaposition to Google raising $80 billion in shares to fund AI, Microsoft with like a $300 billion sales backlog, Amazon with a $260 billion share backlog, and Shopify is using its cash on shares. Like, what's going on here, Jess?
It really is a head scratcher because this is the company that keeps telling us they're built for the AI era. Things are all groovy. We're going, we're moving, you know, we're agentic and we're flowing like agentic should flow. Q1 revenue was up 34%, 3.2 billion. And it really signaled like it's the fastest growth in over 4 years. Merchants clearing 100 billion in GMV. It's a lot of bees we're throwing around. And, you know, we kind of keep feeling like Shopify's been on this amazing trajectory. So if this is a once in a generational AI shift and they feel like they're pioneering that shift, like you said, why would they go kind of fund the cash in that, in kind of that space versus continuing to push themselves forward and faster to just completely annihilate the competition?
Yeah, like use that $5 billion to help entrepreneurs. I don't know.
Right.
Call me crazy.
Hey, we've talked about these like mid-sized merchants are still probably trying to figure out how to adopt AI, what makes sense for them. Many of them are on their platform. And so couldn't they be building some tools in addition to what they already have that help them work through all the adjacent workflows? You know, you talked about like the app store and, you know, couldn't they do like a nice little refresh there and make that feel more agentic? It just doesn't necessarily pass the sniff test. So what's like under the hood, Rick? What are we missing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's very hard. It's follow the money. And
yeah.
Jeff Hoffmeister is the CFO. He's a Wall Street guy. He's came on. I mean, in their defense, they've done a fantastic job with the stock historically since the IPO. It just feels to me like this is a few different forces that are present at Shopify. We talked about, you know, this is a piece I wrote last year. Actually, there are three major forces at Shopify. One is sort of the product and technology builders. The second is the go-to-market people. And third is the financial hats. This is sort of the ascendancy of the financial hats here. The go-to-market people, they got no more steak dinners.
We've already
talked about that. Product and technology, basically, they feel, you know, it's not just that I think that steak dinners, they don't need them. I fully think that the average sales rep, they can automate 80% of their job. I fully believe that's what Shopify believes.
Wow.
But on the other financial side, I don't love the move. I think there's better uses for the cash. It's a common corporate practice in their defense. So, you know, we're going to talk about something here and it's interesting to talk about. However, why not just offer a dividend now if you want to give away $3 billion?
Sure.
Give it back to your shareholders. Don't use it. I mean, it's a sort of like pumping up their stock-based compensation, which is sort of below, you know, it's not in their, you know, their financial models. It's kind of below the line there. And no one really talks about stock-based compensation because it's what makes Silicon Valley go. But $5 billion could buy a lot of tokens.
Sure,
that's
can.
All I'm saying.
Sure can. And when things happen like this, and it doesn't necessarily fall into the narrative, do you feel like they've got a comms issue? Like they have a
they don't have a comms account? Issue. They have no comms. I mean, who the F is the CMO? I mean, I've been saying this for years. They've been getting by without it. It's probably fine. And they seem to do great. And so the last person they need to listen to is me. But on the heels of like many rounds of layoffs, and now like we're going to buy back stock to make ourselves, you know, obviously it helps them attract talent. It's about the little people. I mean, that's who this
is. The financial
engineering. That's who this is for. This is for the little people, Jess.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we'll see kind of what unfolds here and what new AI strategies they talk about in their next earnings. And I know we'll have a lot to unpack there.
Tax compliance is one of those things that sounds manageable until it isn't. You add a new channel, you expand to a new state, you start shipping internationally. Suddenly, the complexity catches up with you. Tariffs, duties, VAT, jurisdiction rules vary everywhere. And a customer just got hit with an unexpected charge when their order arrived. That's not just a compliance problem. It's a brand experience issue. Avalara is how I solve this for clients. I've been recommending them for years. When we help clients select new providers, Avalara is always the call. Works right inside Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, wherever your brand lives. Accurate tax at checkout, visibility into tariffs and duties before the order ships, and fewer surprises for your customers. If you're scaling into new channels or new markets, don't let the tax layer slow you down. Check out what Avalara has built specifically for growing brands at avalara.watsonweekly.com.
Let's get into the second story, which is the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference. And yes, the moment you've all been waiting for, Siri AI in the house. She's back and she's here with a force.
She's worse
than
ever.
We've been waiting. Well, yes, she is bright and she is shiny. And she's got a whole new underpinning all kind of behind her. So let's just catch you up. Mm. They held their Worldwide Developer Conference on June 8th. And like I said, they shipped the Siri that we've been promised for over 2 years. Same name, new capabilities. So don't count her out. If you look at what really kind of some of the core features are, it's going to read what's on your screen, pull context, emails, photos, can take action across apps, answer open questions off the web. I mean, she's kind of your sidekick and the assistant that we've wanted and we've hoped Apple would do when all these things are integrated. It's why we, for many of us Apple people, it's why we went all in on Apple was to have the benefit of that ecosystem, right? But here's the one detail. Apple kind of tries to like slip under the rug in the news.
Oh,
the brain behind Siri isn't necessarily Apple alone.
Mm.
Who is it, Rick?
I think it starts with a G.
It sure does. And they are just neighbors down the road. It is Google, friends. It is the Gemini engine with a little bit of Apple flair built on top. But that really is kind of the underpinning. And we've said before, Apple's like been patiently waiting and kind of sitting back and trying to figure out what the AI strategy is. But yes, they did not build this themselves. And reportedly, Apple is paying Google around $1 billion a year for this custom Gemini model that will
run.
Does
that seem cheap to you? It seems kind of cheap.
Especially, yes. And here's the kicker, Rick. You know, if you remember that like Google just re-upped their investment to Apple to maintain the real estate, that very valuable real estate where Google's the default search engine. And that comes with a price tag of $20
billion.
Wow. So when you talk about-
It's like a rounding error on their existing
deal.
You
talk about like John and Sundar like horse trading here. It's not necessarily a fair trade. So I'm not really sure what's going down here. Maybe you can help me unpack that.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, we've talked on the show like you don't win a negotiation with Amazon. And I'm also learning that you do not win a negotiation with Apple. They will, they'll F you at the drive-thru, you know.
Yeah, guess not.
It's all the things. And so, look, I mean, I think it's interesting what's not being said. There are a lot of people who are like, oh, Apple needs to own the AI. And I think there are two sides of this debate. One is Apple has never started out with owned the core of anything. It's always been about the experience and building this value added experience. And so Apple, you know, never really from its history until 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, never made its own chips.
Sure.
You know, they went from ARM to Intel. They changed the operating system from its own operating system to one based on Unix.
Yeah.
And they made a lot of those things custom, but now they have their own chips. How many years later? Like decades later. The same thing could happen with AI. Like once they learn, I mean, Amazon used to use UPS. Hello, anyone remember that? Used to use FedEx.
Yes, they did.
And then they insourced they all that stuff. So to me, it's still in the power position here. They have all the data. They can decide to swap out the model, and you guarantee there's like an Anthropic button they can switch. However, 100%. I do think the benefit to Google is if you look at like most mobile searches are queries about what? They're queries about things around you. Like, I want to find things around me, learn about restaurants, blah, 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 events, et cetera. So that those are the things you're typing into your iPhone. And so who is the literally the only company that has the data? It's Google.
It would be Google.
They have no choice. They have no choice. It has to be Google.
It has to be Google. And what's also interesting about this is Siri is not going global. She's not launching in China because they've got regulators.
Yeah.
It's delayed in the EU on the iPhone and the iPad because of, you know, those EU regulations they like to do, the Digital Markets Act. The broader rollout's going to be beta, English only to start. So it is the most important feature, arguably, they've shipped in a long time. But she's kind of it's a mini ship. You know, it's not kind of this like global big splash that you typically see with Apple. It's going to roll out over time. A couple other things that I wanted to nod to here, Rick, that, you know, this was the big news, but Apple's always got some other stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't necessarily reveal the foldable phone, but, you know, some of the tech gurus and like this was published on TechCrunch. There was like certain kind of nods to that, you know, perimenopause Apple on Apple Health, like that is really important. So they're kind of riding that wave. AI features on photos. Finally, come on. Like this is like overdue, way overdue.
4 years old for Google.
4 years old, but thank you. Please give me something else that's not just tanking my photo from regular to black and white when I need to cover up my wrinkles. Okay. And then parental controls. Eesh. So yes, we have parental controls. Rick, you will be there very soon.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I wish that was Live 360. Is that not right?
Right, exactly. Yes. You know, that like Spyville that all parents love and our kids hate. And then this will totally blow your hair back. So get ready, Watson. Separate volume controls for like alarm and, ooh, you know, your regular noise. So don't get crazy. And
I'm
then design
tweaks
for the weather app. So keep it calm.
Yes.
That's what I got for you.
Those sounds fun. The big news is AI and Google. The rest of it sound like boring developer updates, Jess. Don't give me
it
that.
Is,
get that stuff out of here.
It's fun. It's fun to like have a few more little like flair things
blah,
in
blah,
there.
Blah, blah, boring.
Yes. Okay, just to like
you
bring
go back
this
to
home.
Your weather app.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I just needed to like get it right, okay? Why can't we predict
any
weather
accurate weather forecast in the age of AI would be useful.
That would be very helpful. I feel like we are so close. Like I just need to know, is it going to rain today? And like, what's the humidity situation? So I know how to fix my hair.
Exactly. Okay? Me too, by the way.
Hard. Yeah, we're feeling it the same way. Okay, so last thing to wrap this up, Watson, is what are we thinking on the privacy piece? Because Apple, very private. Google, not so much.
Correct. I'm sure all that data is very protected. We're screwed, folks. Like, let's be honest here. There's no privacy. Yeah. There's not going to be any privacy. And so I'm not looking forward to it. Privacy, it's a write-off.
Okay. All right. We should just get like wave the white flag.
Correct.
Right? We'll actually be able to see a little bit more in September when some of these things come to fruition and Apple has like more of their kind of consumer hype conference. So can't wait to cover that in a couple of weeks.
Yes, I'm excited about that, but not as much about our next story, which is Anthropic's IPO. In addition, they released an interesting memo about the three potential futures for AI. And so we will talk about this. The Anthropic piece is about AI recursive self-improvement.
Ooh,
what the heck?
I love that.
Big words, no idea what it means. Basically, what it means is AI writing AI. And so it's like, it is the freaking Terminator future they're imagining that Anthropic is famous for. If you feel like fantastic marketing or slimy scare tactics to convince you to buy the product.
Or I throttle like
between them. You go back between. Yeah. Anyway,
it's kind of like a roller coaster. It's both. It's like an emotional.
It is both, but it's working. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's working. So from a business point of view, you can you respect the game. From my point of view. So I'm there. What does it mean now? The lead number here is 80% of their code is written by Claude now.
Wow. That's impressive.
That is
quite something.
This Claude code didn't even release until the middle of last year.
It's true.
This is bananas. Like what's happened in a year? Claude code is doing all sorts of interesting things. OpenAI.
Working real hard.
Yeah. They're pushing hard. IPO race has kicked into high gear. And so Anthropic is sort of like second place to Elon, who filed. And now OpenAI has filed in the last week. And so they're trying to raise $852 billion, which is a similar number to Anthropic. They want to raise $965 billion. Mm-hmm. Perplexity has opted out, kind of raised the white flag for a while, holding out for 2028. I think they're hoping to get bought. That's just sort of my prediction.
So Amazon.
Exactly. What did Anthropic predict about the future? Basically, they are saying that AI can go in three ways. One is like, kind of stays where it is. It doesn't get much better, which is, you know, we don't solve the hallucinations. It's not going to be that big a deal. Humans, yay, humans, right?
For us.
Exactly. Yay, we for survive. Us. The second path is like, it's going to keep improving. It's going to be fantastic, but it's never going to require that human research taste, you know, strategic judgment, whatever you want to call it. Like,
you still need us.
You still need us. We're useful. Okay. Maybe we convince ourselves we're useful.
Yeah.
And then the third
is 4-day work week becomes a reality.
Exactly. So AI does 80%. We do the 20%, but we're better for it because
again, yay us.
Yeah. Yay us. We can get more done. But we don't have to sweat while doing it because the robots are sweating. So it's the robotic sweatshops that we control. The third thing, by the way, I don't think that future ends well. I've seen the movies.
Take over eventually because they don't like
We effed. The third path is ultimately, you know, basically Terminator. AI improves itself. We can't control it. And it improves way faster than we think it can. And we have there's no box that we can put it in. Meaning, I don't know, frankly, what it means. Does it mean AI will start companies that compete with human companies? You know, like, it could mean a lot of things that are very hard to imagine. And I think, look, the fact is, a lot of people, when Anthropic released the Mythos news and they were meeting with the Treasury Department and JP Morgan and all these people about like, look, there's a lot of security holes coming. Here's this thing.
Doomsday,
a lot of people call BS. I was not one of them. I'm like, this is real. And it may not do what they say will happen, may not happen, but the model has these capabilities. It's just a matter of how it's going to be used. And so the reality is, I think this third future will be possible. It will be bad. But the bull case is they'll make a lot of money on the way to the IPO.
Get in early. That third scenario is where I just like I wave my own white flag. Right. I go to an island somewhere and I'm just like living off the land, sipping on some coconut water.
So you're not going to be a prepper. You're going to be a vacationer.
I'm a vacationer. You know, I've already like settled this in my mind. It's like I don't need the bunker. Like that's not for me. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be hanging out in some rando island somewhere.
I love it. No, yeah. I mean, I think so. OpenAI, you know, we'll talk about OpenAI for a second because like on the heels of Anthropic, they seem to be second place to Anthropic and everything is in their IPO announcement is sort of part of this too. They announced on June 8th, they're confidentially submitting also, of course, to the SEC as an S-1. They cited $1 trillion. It's actually $862 million is their valuation based on a funding round that closed in March. They're burning $27 billion. Dollars a year.
It's kind of chump change.
It's a big number. Meanwhile, Shopify is buying back 5 billion shares. Like, hello, like let's show some imagination, folks.
The math ain't mathing.
Math ain't mathing. And so really here, 80% of their code is written by Claude code. It's going to be 100% this year. I think it's pretty easy to predict. Google's still not going anywhere. If they're going to be an Apple and their own devices, which means they own all the distribution of consumer AI. By the way, Amazon's consumer AI is terrible. Apple's consumer AI is terrible, without something backing it. So right. Google is the only one who can make any kind of decent consumer AI.
Yes. And it's still got some work to do, right?
It's quirky. Let's call it that.
She's
quirky.
She's quirky. She's got a whole little mind of her own sometimes, and you got to like rein her back in, you know?
I would love to hear some recent examples from you. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we should do a whole episode. Yeah, we should do a whole episode about it.
We could do a whole episode on like AI fails, you know? Like we used to have like the robot fails, and they're like falling over. I mean, they're running marathons now. At this point, I'm just trying to like get a good recommendation on a coffee shop close by.
Exactly.
I still can't.
Less frizzy hair is a simple goal.
Why is this so hard? Right. I don't understand.
Reminds me of a Bluey episode when they were trying to like, the dad doesn't listen to sat-nav or something. You know what I mean? Yes. That's my favorite. Yeah. One of my favorites.
Exactly. So kind of speaking of, Mythos is supposed to be coming out soon, right? Like,
so the consumer safe version of Mythos just actually released this week. It's called Fable. Yeah. You can test it out now. If you don't value any of your tokens, you can test it out because
they will be gone.
You will immediately drain all your freaking tokens. A good friend of ours, Matt Ezik, just said that like I tried Fable and now I have no tokens for the week left.
And you're depleted for the week, guys. Correct. Like you might as well go ahead and set up a whole new account. Pay for it separately.
But when they fully release it, I think next month, it's actually going to be like a pay-per-use thing, which is also another sneaky thing. So like in addition to your plan, which you're paying like whatever, $20, $100 a month for, if you want to use the best stuff, you're going to pay open your bank account. Like I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Well, let's go to OpenAI a little bit because you did talk about, you know, they've been a little bit second fiddle.
Yeah.
They were first fiddle, you know, and we talked about last week, you know, the Claude Ninja that just like was sneaky, did the little sneak attack, did some curling stars.
Liam Neeson, we're going back to him.
They're on their heels, right? You know, OpenAI did talk about this IPO announcement. Something that kind of also came out was just kind of you talked about like the 27 billion losses. Just to put that into context, it's like, what, $1.22 loss for every dollar.
Yeah.
And Sam, though, is not necessarily worried. He doesn't seem very worried about those dollar bills and where they're going. Because walk our audience through a little announcement he made pretty recently.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's kind of showed his little Jeff Bezos side a little bit. So like early in Amazon's career, they basically said like, we don't care about making money. If you want to invest in my company, we may never make any money. Come on board. It's a great idea. And that's around the time that the Amazon.com piece, the famous historical Amazon.com piece came out in, I think, Bloomberg or something, which proved to be false, obviously, later on. But OpenAI just released, there was a Wall Street Journal article that just came out, I think, yesterday. And they basically said that OpenAI is thinking about radically dropping its prices to compete with Anthropic. And so homeboy flailing. That's all
I'm
going to say.
Is this like a crazy Eddie Carr deal kind of thing?
Like, this is like Crazy Sam. We will not be undersold.
So if they're going to change their pricing, is it for the consumer?
I think it's more for the enterprises because that's where Anthropic. Yeah. I mean, Google's free, so you can access their AI. Most average consumers can access their API and AI for free, but it's the developers where the money is. OpenAI is not making very much money, as we learned, and so they need more adoption. And Anthropic is really good at adoption, and they've built sort of an enterprise go-to-market motion from the beginning.
Yeah.
Whereas OpenAI was about Sora and all this nonsense, and now they're like, no more Sora.
Right. They were just kind of off building a lot of, I don't know if we'd call them vanity projects, but they were just kind of like doing what VCs do. We talked about like that Sam's era, which is he likes it. You just like kind of go and you do a spray and pray type of approach, and like one of these things is going to stick.
Right.
Maybe, you know, he's kind of now reined in and he's got his like his version of Sheryl Sandberg, right? Mm. A little sidekick trying to help him basically rein in the spending, rein in the strategy. And he started shutting a bunch of stuff down.
Yeah.
So
and,
here we go.
You know, I think it's unfortunate. I mean, she's had some health issues. And so I think that's been a tough decision from a business point of view that hasn't worked out. Hope she gets better. I got to understand that side of it. And so I have some sympathy there.
Yeah.
But OpenAI has had consistent governance problems, and that hasn't helped the situation.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So as we kind of talk about rounding this out, you mentioned Perplexity. They did say like, wait, but we do have an IPO plan. It's going to be 2028. Like,
yeah, that's
why
a long
do they even
time
feel the
now.
Need to throw this in the mix? Like, why even say that?
I think that, look, they still want to raise money. They still want to be relevant while everyone has their checkbook open. Like, hey, yeah, if you're going to write all this money for OpenAI and Anthropic, like, why not give us, like, throw a little cash our way? We're growing too. They have a model called Computer, which is basically meant to replace people and automate kind of the knowledge worker sector. So kind of like we talked about before, we thought Perplexity would verticalize to a specific thing and not try to compete head on with Anthropic and OpenAI. That has kind of come to pass. It was really the only thing that could happen because they don't have trillions of dollars. So I think they're just trying to remain relevant, number one. Two, I think they need a sugar daddy, you know, sponsor.
We all do.
And dreams, Jess.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're one of like the, you know, the golden five, like carrying the stock market at this point.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, and you know, like,
yeah,
you know, the five.
Yeah. Exactly. And everyone needs a sugar daddy at this point.
Exactly.
Do we want to unpack anything more around the, like, what Anthropic said in these models? You know, they have this meter, you know, how, like, they've been watching how much AI can finish on its own, went from like 3x speed up to 52x speed up in under a year. You know, there were some things that humans, human researchers, so
us,
said about 23% of the available performance gap over a week. The agents recovered 97% over 800 cumulative hours.
Yeah.
They burned about $18,000 in compute, but that's, again, drop in the bucket in this world, right?
Yeah, who cares? Buy back some Shopify shares with that one.
Exactly. And now I found some, like, couch cushion money.
Kick
that
it
I
over
can
to
go.
Mama.
Exactly. They still, like you said, rolled out these scenarios and are trying to kind of uncover is, can, like, the AI solve the AI's problems on its own, or do we still have to kind of have us involved? Do you have any, like, Nostradamus type crystal ball of how long you think we're away from that?
I think we're in between scenario 2 and 3 as the likelihood. I think scenario 1 is left the building about 2 years ago when everyone thought we would never solve AI hallucinations. I think while an AI does still hallucinate, it is absolutely controllable at this point. You can put guardrails around it. And so we're at least at the point where AI is going to automate most anything that's digital, like on a computer, between computers and softwares and all those things.
Yeah.
Robotics is a big unknown because consumer robotics has never been like a huge business.
It's
like
thing.
Roomba. Yeah. I don't know. I want to go. Yeah. I want to go like your boy Roomba, but
or I bought the cheap version.
Yeah, exactly. Rosie from the Jetsons has not materialized in my kitchen. So I think we're a long way off from those sorts of things. So that's why I say in between 2 and 3, we can even be in 1 for like, it's also not necessarily has to be uniform. Like robots could be in bucket 1, like they're good, but not great. Whereas computer based AI or digital based AI could be like between 2 and 3, where like some scenario in between, like humans are happy and productive, but still busy. I think we're still going to be busy because we're going to take on more work, and humans are fucked because they're going to outproduce us.
So basically what I'm hearing is like, I don't have to buy the island next week not buy the island. We're not talking Bezos here. I don't have to make my island plan next week, but I probably should start like figuring it out over the next 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah. I would go back to like that second episode of The Last of Us. I would start prepping a little bit, maybe learn how to kill some rabbits and learn about what wine pairs with it. It could be.
I did grow up on a farm.
Right.
So
there you go.
I had to go back to those roots.
It's a pirate farm. It's a pirate farm, Jess.
That's right. Exactly. Well, as ever, you know, we can look at this from a glass half full or a glass half empty, and I'm just going to keep looking at the glass.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
It's both.
All right. So let's bring us home, Rick.
Yes. So we are excited. We thought we had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you did too. We will see you here next week. Jess will be out. You're abandoning us, but don't worry. We're still
going
to have a
show.
On vacation. We'll be on vacation actually later in July too. In the meantime, Stay classy, be bold, and see you next time.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye.